Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Night Supporters Club podcast. Hope you are well. Hope you have had a really good weekend, or week for that matter. Now, obviously, I've been away for a couple of days at Gardener's World, which I'll get into in just a moment. Firstly, let's talk about the weather. Now, I don't know what the weather has been like where you are, but today we finally got some rain. I'm absolutely thrilled to get rain. It's only been a few centimetres, but it's made all the difference. It's starting to fill my water butts back up. The plants just look like the rain we've got today has given them a lift. Just so good. Obviously, I don't want rain all the time. I do want to get some of the nice hot weather back. But for now, just to get a nice bit of rain that will hopefully top up our water butts and see us through the season is fantastic. Now, let's dive into a recap of the 2 days I spent at Gardener's World Live. So I went up there Thursday morning. I got there about 9:30, checked myself in with my tickets parked up and everything, and went on in. And, you know, I've had such a great time. I really do enjoy the Gardener's World Live show. I don't watch Gardener's World a lot as a rule of thumb. I don't really watch TV, but the show itself, I just really enjoy. I've been every year that it's been on since 2018, I think it was. And what we get is a mix of, yes, lots of stalls selling their wares. They do show discounts in some cases. They also are good to talk to the actual people who build and deal with the things to learn actually how to use certain tools. So that's always a good, but that's not really why we go. There's all the big names, of course, doing their talks, Monty Don, Adam Frost, Top Hill, so on and so on. And often see them wandering around, and you actually can sometimes get the chance to have a little bit of a chat with them. Adam Frost normally does stop, and if he sees me, he'll stop and have a chat sometimes. Unfortunately, we did see each other, but he was about to do a talk. I was talking to people, so it was a bit difficult to have a proper chat, but he was there. Saul and Lucy as well, the Talking Heads podcast people. I always have such a good time chatting to those. I always stop and see them and have lots of chats about those. It's always... I can let you into this. It's quite interesting as they're on the plant experts desk. So if people have problem with plants or want a bit of advice, that's where they come. And I was standing there chatting to them, and people came up for some help, and we let them ask the questions. And one of the questions quite a few of the questions I've heard, I'm coming up with the answer in my head at the same time as Saul and Lucy are, which was quite surprising. And to the point that Saul said that, oh, that's caused by a certain type of beetle. I can't remember what the beetle is called. And I mouthed to him the word flea. And he sort of looked at me and said, what was that? So I said flea. And he went, yes, flea. There we go. Always good. Always makes me laugh, that. And then, of course, there's the show gardens. Now, I do spend a good time looking around the show gardens. It's case, I think, when we go to these show gardens, you've got to be... On the second day there, I was with Lisa and Ingrid, who are Instagrammers, and they were getting really, really excited. And I'm actually seeing just how the people who created the gardens change when you get really excited and really into that sort of emotion. It was really quite interesting. But three gardens actually stuck out for me. One was like it was one of the large gardens, but it was set up as it had a lot of wildflowers, and I mean a lot of wildflowers at the front, which looked absolutely stunning. There was my friend Adam, he Green's Fingered City Boy, I think his Instagram TikTok handle is. He had a beautiful borders garden, which looked really, really good, really well done, and absolutely stunning. But the one that really stood out for me was Lucy's garden. She grows veg. It was an edible garden, using things like dahlias and hostas as well, and making it look pretty and beautiful. But I learned a few things out. So Lucy only got silver, and I felt she needed or should have been awarded better. As it turned out, she won the People's Award. So that was a lot better. Even low, everything was stacked against her. So When the judges come round on the Wednesday afternoon and judge these gardens, one of the things they said to Lucy, and they marked her down for it, is that because she grew all the plants herself, she didn't get them from a nursery. They lost points. And one of the judges, the head judge, said, your garden shouldn't be here for that very reason, which is absolutely disgusting. And Lucy herself, you know, the people's vote was meant to be on every single garden. It was meant to be a bucket. And they didn't put it outside her. So luckily, it worked on the online voting, shall we say. So that was a really good thing to say. In fact, with Adam's garden as well, he was also knocked down points for potting certain plants with other plants because that was considered not what we do in horticulture. Got a little bit annoyed with some of these judges, but nonetheless, I liked the show gardens and I think they were fantastic. So yeah, really, really good couple of days out. I do feel the show, you need 2 days there to really get into everything. You've got the gardener's world and you've got the good food in there together. And to go round it all, I didn't even get into the good food show that much, to be honest, but to get round it all, you really do need a good 2 days there. I would like to see more veggie gardens. There were some inside the marquee, but I would like to see some more of the vegetable gardens and the edible gardens. That's my one main criticism. I feel that it could do with like an edible garden show alongside it just to give it a bit of a boost. It'll never happen, but I think that's what it could do with. So that is my thoughts on the show itself. You will hear more about it on the podcast tomorrow, of course. So, but if you went, I know some of you did, let me know what you thought of it and how you got on with it. Now, I do today, when I was at home, I have sown the swede, and I thought I'm just going to talk about growing swede from seed. Now, swede, of course, is part of this month's gift pack, so you should all have them. Swede is also known as rutabaga or Swedish turnip. It's a versatile, delicious root vegetable that deserves a place in any vegetable garden. And I thought, let's start with the basics of how to grow the swede from seed. So first of all, we need a sunny spot in our garden or allotment with well-drained soil. Swedes do prefer slightly acidic soil, so a pH level of around 6 to 6.5 is ideal. Now, we can do this by adding lime to the soil. It's a brassica, so you probably want to grow it in with your brassicas anyway. Now, we want to prepare the soil by removing any of the weeds and adding well-rotted compost or well-rotted manure to improve its fertility. Then we're going to sow the seeds directly into ground. This isn't actually what I've done, although I'm going to sow some of the seeds directly in the ground from late spring to early summer. So around now is the right time. I've actually sown mine in plug plants so I can move them out, but that's purely because my garden is so difficult to get anything to germinate in. Now make sure the soil is moist but not waterlogged and plant the seeds about 1 centimetre deep and about 5 centimetres apart. Space in the rows about 30 to 45 centimetres apart. Cover the seeds gently with soil and pat it down lightly. Now, as the seedlings emerge, we want to thin them out to a spacing of about I've got 6 to 8 inches written down here, so I'm trying to work that out in centimetres. That's 15 centimetres. Yeah. This gives them ample room to grow and develop these tasty roots. Regularly water the plants and keeps the soil consistently moist, but not oversaturated. I've just made a few notes to try and make this easier to get all the information across because I sometimes do forget to add a lot of things. Now, swede plants can take about 90 to 120 days to reach maturity. Just keep an eye out for pests, particularly cabbage root fly and flea beetles. They can cause a damage to the leaves and roots. Again, pest control methods, companion planting, physical barriers to help compete with those. Now, once these swedes have reached a good size and the leaves start to yellow, it's time to start harvesting them. Just lift the plants from the ground, being careful not to damage your roots. Store the swedes in a cool, dark place with a temperature between 0 to 4 degrees C. Now, the history of Swedes. I'm starting to try and get into the history of these plants a bit more for you guys. And it's got a really intriguing history of a Swede plant itself. It was first cultivated in Scandinavia in the early 17th century, and Sweden specifically. And the vegetable is a result of a natural cross between a turnip and a cabbage, which explains its unique flavour and appearance. Now, Swedes were initially primarily grown as cattle feed due to the high nutrient content. However, the versatility and delicious taste soon gained popularity, making them a staple in many traditional dishes worldwide, from stews to soups, and even roasted as a standalone side dish. Swedes offer a delightful range of culinary possibilities. I personally like it as mashed Swede. Well, that brings us to the end of this Sunday Night Supporters Club podcast. Hope you've enjoyed our recap of Gardeners World Live and diving into Swede from seed. If you've got any questions, please do feel free to reach out. My email address is always richard@veggrowerpodcast. And as always, a huge thank you to all members of the Veg Grower Podcast Supporters Club for your continued support. Until next time, please take care.